in light of our discussions of Panim Chadash, of, I'm sorry, Asher Bara and Shasimcha Bimono, and then Beis Chasanim, and the relationship between the what happens under the chuppah and what happens Shivas Yamim, and Alman V'Almana, and the relationship between Simcha and Bracha, and of course Yom Rishon as well. Those are things that we already discussed in these issues. And of course, the role of Birchas Hasanim more generally, to what extent it's a kiyum that adds to the Hagdara and therefore also the appreciation of the Nisuin itself, and in a way elaborates and explains what the Nisuin's role is and how the Nisuin complements the Kiddushin, and therefore again questions of you know, whether you need a minyan and whether it has to be before or after, what happens if you miss something, all of the issues that we've discussed. So obviously they are going to impact on this interesting requirement of Panim Chadashos as well. Generally speaking, Panim Chadashos comes up in the context of Mara in terms of what happens in Shivas Mei Mishneh to justify saying the full complement of Brachos as opposed to only saying Asher Bara. However, we should also keep in mind, as we're discussing this briefly, that there are a couple of indications in some Rishonim, that, or some Achronim as well, that Panim Chadashos may play a role even beyond this one issue. For example, is it possible that Panim Chadashos will ever play a role in terms of the extended saying of Shasimcha Bimono, or Asher Bara itself in extended fashion? In other words, when we say Shasimcha Bimono ad Lamed Yom, and then from Lamed Yom to Yud Beis Chodesh, right, in a case where it's Machmas Yehula, or according to that small group of Rishonim, but a group nonetheless, that says you can say Asher Bara ad Shloshim Yom, or maybe even ad Yud Beis Chodesh, right? There are some formulations that link it with Panim Chadashos, and that is a double chiddush. It's a chiddush that that Asher Bara or Shasim Kimono in extended fashion require Panim Chadashos, because even, you know, the Pashtus Shasim Kimono, when it's extended, does not. Certainly doesn't sound way in the Gemara. And one would have thought that Asher Bara as well, if it's going to be extended, it's because it's, you know, like, or at least sufficiently like Shasimcha Bimono, and therefore it you know, it's justified, you know, by virtue of the dynamic itself of Asher Bara in this time period, whatever that is. In other words, the Shem Chasan, the Shem Kala, the Shem Chasan Bekala, the extended Zman Simcha, whatever it is, whatever the things that we've been talking about. Why should you necessarily require Panim Chadashos in addition? Moreover, the second point is, maybe there is no Chalos Panim Chadashos vis-a-vis Shasimcha Bimono and Asher Bara. As we know, that there's a chalos panim chadashos with respect to the Zion brachos as opposed to just Asher Bara within the Shavua Shechalbo. But how do we know that there's a chalos panim chadashos at all vis-a-vis Asher Bara and Shasimcha Bimono? So that even if you did need it, maybe it just wouldn't exist. Moreover, how do we know that there's a chalos panim chadashos beyond Shivas Mei Mishneh, right? Maybe beyond that period of time, whatever it is that Panim Chadashos accomplishes, similar to what I just said, but one in terms of the, you know, attachment to Shasimcha Bimono and Asher Bara, the other in terms of the time period of Zayin Yamin, right? How do we know that there is such a chalos? And of course, very much that depends on what Panim Chadashos is accomplishing. There is even a view in the Achronim that suggests that, you know, Almon Shanasa Almana, so it's only Yom Rishon, right? And in that Yom Rishon, presumably there's no din of Panim Chadashos, although that is a little bit controversial, because that depends on our previous topic. Previously we discussed whether or not Yom Rishon requires Panim Chadashos, right? And that in two senses. Yom Rishon, which is the same day as the Chuppah, does it require Panim Chadashos? Right? And even if the answer there is no, what about Yom Rishon, which is not on the same day as the Chuppah, does it require Panim Chadashos? Right? That's a more of a controversy. So, in terms of Almon Amana, which is only Yom Rishon, so if you take the view that, generally speaking, Yom Rishon doesn't require Panim Chadashos, so then seemingly you will never have Panim Chadashos, in a typical case, at least, with respect to Almon Gamana, because it's Yom Rishon, and Yom Rishon is always protected, or Yom Rishon, it's always superfluous, or Yom Rishon always is a Panim Chadashos, because it's the first of its type. The various explanations that we gave, you don't need it, or you have the equivalent of it, either because of the connection to the Chuppah, or even as a phenomenon, it's already Mechudash, because it's the first of its kind. And that also depends on what the relationship is between the Chuppah and the Yom Rishon, the issues that we've talked about. But the point is that the mitzius of Almon v'Almana may preclude, under if you take certain views, may preclude there being a Panim Chadashos. On the other hand, if you take the position of Rabsar Sholem Gon and the Rambam, they don't think that there's some special yichus of Yom Rishon. For them, Yom Rishon, when the Gemara says, Yom Rishon as opposed to other days, it's another way of saying the Chuppah, right? Not even the day of the Chuppah, but the Chuppah. But, the first meal, doesn't have any special yichus. So if you take that view, so then what about Almon v'Almana? Right, so the question of what will you say for Almon, now we also know that there's a separate issue, and that is maybe you'll only say Asher Bara for Almon v'Almana, or some other, separate Chalos Bracha for Almon v'Almana. Anyway, I think I don't want to get back to that part of it. But what I'm saying is, let's assume for the moment that the more standard view, which is that Almon v'Almana, right, you should make the regular Brachos. So if you take the view that even Yom Rishon requires Panim Chadashos, typically to justify the seven, and you assume that the seven apply to Almon V'Almana, will you have the same din, right, or not? So that's, again, goes on the quality of Panim, the quality of Almon V'Almana list. But we've seen quite a few examples of the fact that Almon V'Almana, right, might be more restricted. There's the fact that it's Yom Echad, or Yom Echad Lebracha, and Gimel Yomim Lesimcha, isn't just a quantitative limitation. Maybe even in its Aleph and Gimel, right, it's more limited. It's a different chalos. Right, we talked about the discussion in the Minchas Chinuch, what about Avelus, and what about Negaim, etc. But is it possible ever to have the opposite? Might you say, well, you know what, for everybody else who have Zayin Yamim, So there's a certain marathon here, and this is how we look at it. But the Yom Rishon for Almon V'Almana, by virtue of the fact that it's only Yom Rishon and everything is focused on Yom Rishon, maybe it's Yom Rishon, is actually qualitatively more intense. So maybe, even if you were to take the view that, maybe the opposite of what we've been saying till now. And again, let's contrast it with the whole discussion with Rabbeinu Yeruchim and so on, that when it comes to the question whether Yom Rishon needs to be Yom HaChuppah, maybe there's a difference between Gufo and Mechalek, between Almon V'Almana, where the answer may be yes, it needs to be Yom HaChuppah and everything else. Again, that's on the list of, well, if it's a special din of Yom Rishon and that's a din of Almon V'Almana, and maybe Almon V'Almana anyways, where is more of a tentative application, so it's got to be, it's Yom Rishon also has to be Yom HaChuppah. But what I'm suggesting here is that you might say also the opposite, and that is Almon V'Almana is all about Yom Rishon, and there's a special yichus to that day, whereas opposed to in a regular typical situation where it's just one of the 7 days and there's nothing special about it. So therefore, maybe we're more makel, right? We apply it even without Panim Chadashos, etc. But what's interesting is that there's a view in the Achronim that maybe in Alman v'Almana, right, if there's Panim Chadash, maybe you don't need Panim Chadashas for Alman v'Almana. Okay, that view, as I recall, I think it's quoted in the back of the Rambam too, in, you know, the Kutei Rambam, in the back of the Frankel, this Shita, this day in the Achronim, that I think the basis is, let's assume that Yom Rishon never requires Panim Chadashos, unlike what I was just saying now, that you might be Mechalik in either direction, right? Yom Rishon doesn't require Panim Chadashos, not for Bochur Shanasa Besula, and not for Alman Shanasa Almana. You'll always make the Zion Brachos on Yom Rishon. Oh. However, if you have Panim Chadashos, maybe you'll be able to say the Brachos for Almon V'Almana even through the Zion Yamin period. There's such a view in the Achronim. Wow. So that would be sensational. And again, in two senses. Number one, is there a chalos of Zion Yamin for Almon V'Almana? Right, that's already Reb Chaim in the stencils, and that diuk in the Rambam of Hilchos Brachos, that maybe there is. Even an Almon V'Almana has a chalos shame Zion Yemei Mishteh, right? Again, and that's the diuk, that when it comes to Moshe Ben Tikein, Zayin Yemei Avelo, Zayin Yemei Mishteh, we don't say only, you know, Bachor and Besula or one of the combinations. Maybe it's true even for Almon, you know, V'Almana, right? Aye, but it usually doesn't express itself, at least in Bracha, that's the whole point. The halacha is, that when it comes to Bracha, it's Echad. But if you say that there is such a chalos period, so is it possible that when you have panim chadashos that you'll be able to extend? Now, you would say asher bara for the rest of the week, right? But if you have panim chadashos, even for alvam le'alman, I think it's a very big kiddush, but it's a daya. So what I'm trying to show right now is that, you know, leave the alman ve'almana part of it aside. That belongs on the alman ve'almana list, right, which keeps growing a little bit. But I'm interested now from the Panim Chadashos point of view. What I'm asking is, we know Panim Chadashos, you know, adds to Asher Bara in the Zayin Yamim in a typical case, right? But the idea that it might also affect Asher Bara and Shasimcha B'mono outside the normal time frames, right, opens up the possibility as well that Panim Chadashos will be able to extend maybe within the time frame of Zayin Yamim and Achanami, but even Almon V'Almana. And once again, that would highlight that Panim Chadashos, right, is being used beyond, right, the particular application of the Gemara. But all of these questions, all of these shitos that highlight this, need to be weighed in light of what Panim Chadashos really accomplishes and is. So in light of what we were discussing previously about all these other topics, it seems clear that there are some obvious perspectives. Okay. The most obvious, obviously, is that Panim Chadashos adds a dimension of Simcha. It's part of it being a special occasion, right? It's there's something called Simcha, and then there's something called Simchas Mereus. We talked about that too, right? Let's say the family gets together and they're very joyous, right? But maybe you also need, I wouldn't say the validation, because I don't like that as an idea. We'll call it not the validation, but the participation of outsiders, you know, to add an additional dimension of Simcha, right? Sharing the simcha with people from outside, right, is an added element, right? That's not Panim Chadashos. But then the point is, well, maybe there's something, but these are people who were at the chuppah, and they may be, you know, every day at the Sheva Brachos, right? And maybe that's still important for Asher Simcha B'mono, and so on and so forth, for Asher Bara, maybe the issues that we discuss. So then might say, well, what are Panim Chadashos? They're just, you know, one notch, you know, of quantitative, maybe qualitative simcha beyond that. In other words, the presence of people panim chadashos add a dimension to the simcha. So it's not just a, you know, an inbred, you know, simcha. It's also a simcha which is, you know, expanding and including other people. Certain special occasions to qualify require this dimension of simcha reflected by the participation of certain people. Now, if that's the case, then you can ask the next question, that is, if this is all about make it more special, more memorable, more, you know, more simcha, etc., so how do you do that? And is there only one way to do that? And if there's only one way to do that, what is that way? Right? So, for example, just anticipating, you know, what we're going to find in just a second, is it dafka by new blood, you know, people who weren't, you know, people who are more outsiders? Or is it dafka by, you know, people who you have long-standing relationship with, and it's the quality of the relationships more than the, you know, freshness of the relationship. I don't mean the larger relationship. I mean vis-a-vis the wedding. Now, I can make an equally compelling case, I think, for saying that on a simcha level, either chadashim, right, or, you know, mechubadim, but, you know, who are, you just can't imagine a simcha without them, right? And they've been here, and you're holding on to them because, you know, their involvement and their participation has been so meaningful to you. Or is it possible in theory, if we're talking about simcha and memorable and unique and singular, you know, so who says that there's only one way to inject that, just like we can make an equally compelling case for, you know, totally new people or people whose, you know, whose role in your lives is more meaningful, so too, right, we might argue that both of these are true, or other elements are going to be able to add. Then it would be a greater flexibility, right, in defining panim chadashos. So I'm going to pin these down in just a minute, but I'm just, you know, we're starting with, you know, just kind of charting the course of all of this. Oh. The second option is that we're not talking about the dimension, the level of simcha or you know, singular character. What we're really interested in is something much more defined and much more specific, right? And that is something like either recapturing Yom HaNisuin, right? Assuming that has yichus, right? Or the reenactment of the wedding itself. Okay, and things that flow from the language of the Ran on Gimel Amud Aleph, possibly Gimel Amud Aleph in the Daf Yarid, and the Ritva in the Sugya, again page 78, column 1. If indeed the idea of repeating the brachos, right, is the idea of, you know, holding on to Yom HaNisuin or replicating Yom HaNisuin or replicating and reenacting the chuppah itself, or what took place under the chuppah at least. So then, this has nothing to do with the level of simcha. It has everything to do, though, with you know, trying to accomplish that, right? So these are the lashonos that are used in this context. Reenacting, again, I think one can make an equally persuasive case. Reenacting requires the same people to be there. Or is it reenacting for, you know, is it reenacting it or reenacting for? If you're reenacting for others, right, then dafka, you need, you know, the audience who's fresh and who wasn't there previously. On the level of reenacting, it could also be that it's not just when you reenact, you know, so then, you know, you can do all of this. But it's a justification of the Amiros HaBrachos. Now, you can't say these brachos again because it's a kind of a bracha, right, levatala. You know, but if you're saying it bishvil or ba'ad, people who weren't there, I'm not saying it's yatamotzi, it's not kiddush exactly, But the point is that the witnessing audience isn't just the reenactment, but it's the justification of the bracha. According to this view, the focus would also be on the actual amiras habracha. Here, don't have an equally persuasive case. Now, if we're talking about reenactment or, recapturing Yom HaNesuin, right, then I could say, you need the same players, the same props. Certainly for Yom HaNesuin, you would think that. Reenactment depends, reenacting it or reenacting for. But if we're talking about the bracha, which otherwise would be a bracha levatala, then certainly we need a fresh audience. That's the whole point, is that we're pulling in other members into the process. Did you want to ask something before I continue?
Yeah. I was wondering about the Brit discussion. The Brit says that you might say have people, he says you always have to go into the chuppah in order to make the Brit sanctified. It's in with this approach. But he says that you can do it just with the chassid or just with the kala. It could be any chuppah, not even the original chuppah that they used.
Yeah.
Is everything that still fits within this context of...
Well, I think it might fit in with the language of... does it fit in with reenactment, you're saying?
Yeah.
Not so much, but again, I think the Ritva's quoting the Bali. Is that part when he quotes the Rabbeinu at Tzarfat, or it's a little bit tricky in the Ritva's in the sugya, a little bit, right? Yeah, take a look. I'm not sure. I've thought about it. I don't think it's full consensus. Otherwise, his Lashonos and some of his Shitos don't really work in perfectly with some of the others, unless we say that they're all dinim of Simcha in a way, which we'll get back to. Okay. Some people are medayik in Rashi. I should add this. This is also just an important point. Rashi, when he talks about panim chadashos, uses the following lashon. Avram, what's the language of Rashi? Yeah. So the Meiri and some of the material in Shita Mekubet says, suggest what does that mean?
It could have been the day beforehand.
Yeah, exactly. That it depends on who was there previously. In other words, if somebody wasn't there the day before, but he was there the day before that, then that's not a problem. So that already points to, obviously, that's not a question of. Mevarchim ba'adam, not reenactment, it's not Yom Rishon. It's that has to do with each day vis-a-vis the day before. That there's a chiddush in that too. In other words, one could have thought that the whole period of Shivus Menishta is a unit. Mimadashach, right? Either it's a unit or each individual day, is totally independent. But the idea that each day is independent but is judged in terms of the added dimension of novelty by the day before, that you can't have a repeat of yesterday. That's the only limit. Number one significantly curtails the demands or the requirements of Panim Chadashos, and I think also points to upon Chadashos being a very limited, almost like it can't be dull and it can't be ultra repetitive, but of the previous day, it can't be a yawner. It can't be like an extension alone. You can have one day of an extension, or within a day maybe you can have extension, but not beyond that. That of course points in a slightly different direction, but again. Is very helpful to us because we'll take a step back for a second and just raise the question this way: to what extent are Panim Chadashos really kind of an important element of this whole sugya? Meaning, the requirement of Panim Chadashos is significant, and therefore Panim Chadashos' role, whatever it is going to highlight like a major dimension of Shiva Sinei Amishta and Simchas Chasen Mekal. Or do we look at it, very differently? And that is that, really, Panim Chadashos play a very small role. They're more like neutralizing negatives than they are a positive requirement, right? In which case, it's not going to be very difficult also to satisfy this requirement. If you hold that according to Rashi, all panim chadashos is to make sure that you're not repeating yesterday, you know, even though it's fine to repeat the day before, never mind the chuppah, right? Basically, what you're doing is you're limiting panim chadashos in very significant fashion. Similarly, but for a very different reason, right? The Rambam, as we know, in one way limits panim chadashos, right? But in another way, perhaps, you know, projects it prominently. Okay, by which I mean, I'm just plugging it into what we've already discussed, is that according to the Rambam, since the default and the basic norm is Asher Bara, and that's what it's supposed to be. I mean, you're supposed to have moved on, during Shivas Memishta from the Chuppah. And Abara isn't the, Nebuch B'dieved. It's, that's the what we're up to, and that's what we're supposed to, the way that we're supposed to express it. Assuming our analysis in the Rambam is correct, which I very strongly believe. So basically, then, the role of Panim Chadashos in terms of the structure of Shivas Memishta is negligible, or almost non-existent. Again, it's for this reason, I'm just repeating now what I said the last year, but for the Rambam, it's totally consistent, even though it's a little against the language of the Gemara, but it's consistent the way he reads the total Gemara and conceptually, that according to the Rambam, Yom Rishon has no Yichus. What do you mean Yom Rishon? You don't need Panim Chadashos. Right? There's no Din of Panim Chadashos after the Chuppah? There's no Din of Panim Chadashos at all, actually. Right? Because the next phase is an Asher Bara phase. Right? If the whole point of Panim Chadashos is just that whoever hasn't been at the Chuppah, it's Lamano or Ba'ado, right? That's just an exception and a very different halacha entirely. But it has nothing to do with the character of Shivas Me'amishta. So that's how the Rambam is able, to read the Gemara differently, or to ignore that line in the Gemara, maybe thinks it's a stira between Zion and Beis and Chesem and Aleph, as the case may be, doesn't really matter for the moment, everything that we've said. But like that, so if you ask the question, so what role is Panim Chadashos playing? Right? A big role, a little role? Is it, when you have Panim Chadashos, it's like, the ideal, and it's also, highlights what this chalos is? The answer is for the Rambam, in one respect, right, Panim Chadashos doesn't exist. It's an exception. Right? Of course, as an exception, this is where the irony comes in, or not the irony, it's the necessary irony. As an exception, it's a totally different theme and motif, and an important motif of reenactment, or making the bracha on behalf of that other person. So it's important for what it does. It does a lot. It's not about Simcha at all, right? It's not about making the thing more memorable, more chalosable, nothing like that, right? It has a very different function, a very dramatic function, okay? But that function is basically something which doesn't reflect on the stages of Ishus. It's just what gets you back to the chuppah, right, for the people who either weren't invited or weren't able to make it. Stuck in traffic, couldn't get over the George Washington Bridge, etc. Okay. But now let's just go and discuss very briefly some of the facts about Panim Chadashos, and not all of them at all, but at least in light of this, just discuss very quickly some of the issues. Okay. Let me just add one other comment. So in light of all of what we've said already, just to look back at what I began with, which is, in the Gemara, right, Shivas Zayin, I'm sorry, Panim Chadashos plays the role of allowing you to expand Zayin Brachos during Shivas Me'amishta. Okay, but what about the possibility of Panim Chadashos, right, either beyond Shivas Me'amishta and in the chaloses that seemingly don't always require Panim Chadashos, like Shasimcha B'mon and Asher Bara, which don't require Panim Chadashos and Shivas Me'amishta, right? What about them having, the ability to affect these two beyond a double chiddush, or things like almon v'almana, right, where you don't assuming you don't need it, that having it, you know, expands it, you know, considerably. So that too, that issue too, should be plugged in to what it is that Panim Chadashos is adding. If Panim Chadashos is just adding dimensions of Simcha, so you might say that, you know, it's a quantitative or a qualitative factor, which in theory, you know, can apply even to institutions like Shasimcha Mimono and Asher Bara, which per se, you know, don't need that propping, you know, on certain conditions. But if you want to, you know, expand the temporal expansion, you know, of the Simcha, then maybe you need some more propping up. Moreover, if it's really about just the dimension of Simcha, so maybe it doesn't require, you know, the extended period of the chuppah, or the time of shame chasan v'kala, you know, or etc. Because it's all just about dimensions of Simcha. Just like it adds Simcha as opposed to, you know, kind of an orech ara idea when it comes to shar brachos b'zayin ayamim, so too for Shasimcha v'mona, for Asher Bara, for Alman v'almana, right? It can work its magic and put it over the top in terms of qualifying as well. But if we're talking about Yom HaNesuin, and if we're talking about reenactment, or if we're talking about justifying the brachos, so the idea that Panim Chadashos would extend either to the institutions of Asher Bara and Shasimcha v'mona, or to push Almon v'almana, that I'm not so sure about, but as much about, but at least certainly beyond the Zayin Yamim, I think would be much, much more difficult to justify. Yeah.
For the Rashi that the Meiri explained as having someone who wasn't there the day before.
Yeah.
Instead of saying that it's about relating each day to the day previous, why can't you just say it's a din and simcha? That there's extra simcha when someone who wasn't there before comes back. Even though by missing a day, there's extra simcha.
Well, we don't want the guy who's coming back, him coming back. We just don't want that he was there the day before. Now,
right.
The point in Rashi isn't, you know, the day beforeers are, you know, we miss them. The point in Rashi is, if it's the same guy as yesterday, we've had enough of him. I don't mean it literally, by the way.
Right, but I'm saying we were saying that either as a din and just, you don't want the exact repeat of the previous day.
Right.
Not
we need something fresh and novel and
is that something fresh and novel inherently just anything fresh and novel, or it's a din and simple?
No, I think it's a din and simple. But a very specific kind of, you know, din and simple. Okay. It doesn't have to be din simple, but it's likely it's a din simple. Okay. So how many people do you need for panim chadashos? We've discussed this a little bit already. The Ritva takes a view on this matter very explicitly. And the Pashtus, I think that's what we all would have said about the Ritva. Namely, Shua? Only need one. The Pashtus, panim chadashos, you know, again, it is a plural, but panim is plural. And the Pashtus, you need one. On the other hand, the Ritva quotes a Shita of two. Rav Avraham ben Arambam understood his father's view that it was two, and then there's a third Shita which we were discussing, Rav Avraham ben Arambam's initial possibility in the Rambam, and the in fact view of suggestion in the Bach, the Tshuva quoting the Taz, right, the discussion afterwards of the Achronim, right, in the Rambam, that maybe need 10. Now the requirement of 10 we discussed already, that's a huge Kiddush, right, is that a total reenactment with a different Sibur, you know, with a standalone, in other words, sufficient Sibur, and then maybe even the possibility of there being six, you know, so you get Ruba Kekulo, just like you have in certain other Dinim of Davar Shebikdusha, this maybe is not Midin Davar Shebikdusha, so that part we certainly understand is very different. What about the two? So certainly, if the idea of Panim Chadashos is to justify the Amira Sabracha, right, that it isn't a Bracha Levatala and who you're saying it for, then presumably one would be enough. If you require two, maybe, that's a din in Simcha, or a dimension of Simcha, but it's Simcha based on presence. In other words, we do find that the presence of two people is sometimes significant. It's a rabim, not just the yachid, number one. And here and there in the halacha, we find this notion. For example, anybody know where? Or anybody have an idea? Maybe you have other ideas. Where two? Where you have two? Where two people? Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a little bit. All right. I mean, the fact that it's a simcha that affects people, two people. Nice. I wasn't thinking of that, but it's an interesting idea. That might be explained differently, but I like it. What do you think about that? And by the way, do I remember to say Mazel Tov to you? No. Okay, that's right. Did you say Atova Meitev or Shachiyano or? We'll talk. What? Meaning? That's so nice. Yeah. You know, I was about to say, you know, like, wait till you become a father. But then I realized, you know, we have that bearded. Yeah. Where's the other? Where's the other? Like, you're putting like Hanan is like, you know, in a pickle here. He doesn't know like who to side with. You know, the din of Birchas HaGomel. This is not in connection to what we were discussing a second ago. But the din of Birchas HaGomel has an interesting halacha. Right, what's the din of Birchas HaGomel? What's that? Fine, but that the l'chatchila. What do you need?
Two people.
Two Talmid Chachamim.
Yeah.
Right. So it's a funny halacha. Like, what does that mean? Right? So, it's a good example. In other words, a certain presence. So, yeah. Yeah. Very good. It's similar, because that's kind of connected to... Yeah, 100%. Meaning, sometimes, two, you can make a bracha for... Or for if you make a bracha... If you want to make kiddush for somebody who hasn't... you don't have to wait for two. Right? To be motzi acher midei chavasa, or but when you need a certain nochut, like a certain presence, a certain you know, intense presence, so sometimes two. And again, I like that tova meitiv idea because in a way you could look at it that way. Sometimes two. It's not just that two is more than one. Two is, it's not, you know, one and one two. It's two. I mean, it isn't just a single lone whatever. There's a group. There's a, it's a rabbin, right? And that matters. But certainly, that has nothing to do with bracha levatala. It could have everything to do with adding a sufficient dimension of simcha, right? To justify this kind of a thing. Okay. Next question. Do you need panim chadashos, right, for the day? Discuss this already when we talked about, you know, Yom Rishon a little bit, right? And it's maybe having special yichus, either for Almon V'Almona or for others, and Almon V'Almona pops in both directions. But Panim Chadashos is for the meal, right? For the day. And if for the day, right, do we mean that if there's Panim Chadashos any time during the day that you can continue to make the Zion Brachos all during that day? Or do we mean that at least, at minimum, right, the Panim Chadashos has to be at the meal? There doesn't have to be a new Panim Chadashos at each meal. There are basically three shittos. Right, already in the Rishonim, and then later in the Poskim, and it breaks down in all sorts of really intriguing and interesting ways. Obviously, if we're talking about justifying the making of a bracha, right, ba'ad, so then it should depend on each suda. Right, the fact that he, you know, is your panim chadashos for the day doesn't justify repeating it seven times if you're making seven meals in the same day, right, or even twice for that matter. And that doesn't matter, right, whether he's present or not. It shouldn't make a difference. If, on the other hand, we're dealing with Yom HaNesuin, right? Oh, this is Yom HaNesuin again, right? We've triggered, you know, Yom HaNisuin. So that might be dependent upon the day, not just the Suda. And certainly, more likely, if we're talking about the dimension of Simcha, right, which justifies, again, it's not just Simchas Mereus, but you need Panim Chadashos added, you know, of that dimension of Simcha. So then, of course, it's very, very reasonable, or at least it's an interesting open question, that, you know, if on this day, you know, he's Panim Chadashos, that his status will continue throughout all the 15 sudos that you make, you know, that the sudos are growing, you know, during that one day. On the other hand, we would not be surprised. Oh, wow. Okay. What happened to the red thing?
Maybe.
Let me say it the other way. If we take the more standard view, which is that Panim Chadashos is defined by each meal, right, that obviously works according to all of these perspectives. Because you just might say that, you know, it's true, it's not the bracha ba'ad, you know, the Panim Chadashos, but what's a tziruf between one meal and the other, even if it's the same day? Right, you have to assume that there's, you know, that each day, and not just, you know, the period of Zayin Yamim, right, is a chalos. In that sense, shares something a little with the Rashi, right? If Rashi really does mean that, you know, you can't have yesterday's Panim Chadashos for today, but you could have 2 days ago's, so Rashi is really breaking it down by Yamim. As we said, one could have thought that there's no din of Yamim, right? There's a din of Tchilas, you know, from the Chuppah, or from Yom Rishon till Yom Shvi. That's an integrated period. There's no such thing as Yamim. There's either Sudos, right, or nothing. The Shita that says that something depends on the whole day does assume, and it's not surprising, because often when we have units of seven, it can sometimes be the whole week. It's like, you know, Spiros Omer, right? You can have the week as a week, and you can have a week, you know, which is, you know, broken up by days. So this is an interesting additional issue. Moreover, the question of whether or not he needs to be present or not, what you might say is that, you know, it's a din in Simcha, or even a din in Yom HaNisuin, whatever you want to say. But is it enough if he show, and you know, the 7 day period is broken up by days. Right. But still, if he doesn't show up at each meal, then there's no sufficient tziruf to his presence. You know, he's the Panim Chadashos of the day. Is it enough that he shows up once? Right? What's mitzarif him to the other meals or to the other parts of the day? That's another intriguing issue. Okay. So that's that would explain all three. Again, if you require new Panim Chadashos for every Suda, there can various, whatever thing you, whatever position you take on Panim Chadashos, right, might still require that every Suda have a separate Panim Chadashos on all levels. As I said, there's no din of Yamim. Even if there is a din of Yamim, there's no Tziruf, or there's not sufficient Simcha, etc. If you take the view that it's one a day is enough, right, or even if you take the view that you know, the one a day is only enough if he shows up at each meal, right, that's a separate machlokas within, then certainly you're taking some sort of a stand, and those three shitos are very important. Okay. The Ritva, as we know, was mechalek between, or suggests the possibility, again, right, Isaac, of being mechalek between, you mentioned it last time, but we were talking last time about the different issue. We're talking about which issue? Last time we looked at this Ritva, and we were talking about the Yichus of Yom Rishon.
Oh, right.
So the Ritva says, when it comes to Yom Rishon, right, it's enough that he, meaning the Panim, if you do need, according to the Shita, you need Panim Chadashos, even Yom Rishon, one for the day is enough. Right? But, you know, beyond that, you need each and every Suda. And his explanation actually is because each Suda you're trying to replicate Yom Rishon. So it's already Yom Rishon. Again, the Chiddush is, well, if it's Yom Rishon, you shouldn't need anybody. Okay. So for that Shita, which says that even Yom Rishon requires Panim Chadashos, but the point is that, you know, there's still a Chalos of Yom Rishon. And beyond that, right, we, again, only Yom HaChuppah or even the next day. That would be intriguing. Right. Okay. That's a separate argument, as we know. Okay. Who is considered Panim Chadashos? The previous question was, what level of participation do we require from the Panim Chadashos? Right? Every meal, once a day, every meal during that day. Now, who is Panim Chadashos? So here let's talk about two issues. One is the quality of the person, and number two is his previous level of participation, or his present level of participation. It's actually three issues. Some of these are a little murky, and some of these are clearer in the Rishonim. Let's talk about the qualitative issue first. When we say Panim Chadashos, within the perspective that we're dealing with new blood, means somebody who wasn't there previously, right? Is it just enough that he be such a person, right, who Lamaisa wasn't there previously? Or is it also required that he be of a certain stature, vis-a-vis, right, the Balei Simcha? Meaning, does it have to be mi shemarbim simcha bishvila? Or is it enough that he just wasn't there and he didn't hear the brachos and so on? Obviously, in terms of justifying the amiras habrachos, right, there should be no difference between any Jew in the street, right, and mi shemarbim simcha bishvila. Because the Marbim Bishvilo, Simcha Bishvilo component has nothing to do with Bracha Levatala, nothing to do with being a member of Klal Yisrael, like who has some sort of kesher to every single wedding, if indeed every wedding is Klal Yisrael's business. Right? That's true for every single member of Klal Yisrael, every Panim Chadashos. Even if he's, you know, not Marbim Simcha Bishvilo. But if we're talking about Simcha, right, and making this more of a happening, so then Misha Marba b'simcha rather plus Panim Chadashos may be a requirement. So who has this idea, Yaakov?
Tosus.
What's the language of Tosus, if you don't mind? Let's read it into the record for the moment, because we need to talk about a few points in it. Yeah.
Only the Panim Chadashos in Korea of Bnei Adam Shemarbim B'Shvila Masimcha Yoser.
Oh, okay.
And there's like a thing about Shabbos.
Read it. We'll get it in. That's what I said. We'll get it on the record.
The Shabbos, the Chashvim and Panim Chadashos, the Amrina and the Agada, Mizmor Shili and Shabbos, Amr Kadosh Baruch Hu Panim Chadashos Ba'olatan. Namar Shira. Hasam Nami Marbim L'Chavar of Shabbos B'Simcha B'Suda.
Oh, okay. So, that's Tosus's view. The Shita Mekubetzes assumes that Rashi is cholek, right, against Tosis. And that there's no requirement of Misha Marbin Simcha Bishvila. Truth is that since Rashi is just kind of interested in, assuming that the Mi'uri is correct, which sounds like it, big Chiddush, as we said, which is that Panim Chadashos is just to make sure that there's not too much monotony from one day to the next. Again, you could take the monotony view, by the way, And you could expand it. You could say, oh, we've seen this guy during the week. You know, monotony, right? I'm not suggesting people should talk this way, by the way. But Rashi's added chiddush is that monotony is, you know, dispelled by, you know, by 24 hours. You know, if you just haven't seen this guy for 24 hours, you know, he's your long-lost Panim Chadashos again. Okay. Anyways, the point is that it's not impossible to say, according to Rashi, that the requirement of Panim Chadashah, the qualitative, who is this guy, you know, who then we're trying to weigh, you know, whether we haven't seen him for 24 hours or for the whole week, etc. Oh, he's still somebody that Marbim Bishvilo B'Simcha. But since Rashi doesn't say it, and default, if somebody doesn't say it, Panim Chadashos just sounds like Panim Chadashos. Moreover, if it's true that according to Rashi, it's not so much that you need Panim Chadashos as much as it is that, you know, it shouldn't be too monotonous, so then the idea that you could probably get away, you know, even with you know, somebody who ain marbim b'shvilo simcha necessarily, makes sense. Either way, the Shita B'Kubetzes, it's not Muchrach, does assume that Rashi and Tosfos are arguing about this particular point. And I'm just adding that since conceptually we are likely to see Rashi's understanding of Panim Chadashos in a certain way, so that actually makes quite a bit of sense. Yeah. He's what? Yeah, yeah, we're going to get that in just one more sec. Meaning, that's question number two and three. Meaning, what level of participation previously or presently are we talking about? But what does he have to be active in, or what does he have had to have been active previously in to be disqualified? Right? So we'll get to that in just a second. So far, I'm just talking about the quality of people who are Panim Chadashos, namely, Misha Marbim Bishvilo Simcha, or not. Okay. The fact that the Bali Tosfos transitioned, that's why I wanted Yaakov to read the whole piece, into Shabbos is, of course, consistent, as we'll discuss in just a moment, with this idea. Because as much as you are enamored with Medrash, you know, that Mizmar Shir Liyom HaShabbos Panim Chadashos Bo Lekan, right? You know, we're not talking about a new person who justifies, you know, what otherwise would be a bracha lebatala or a reenactment, right? We're talking about Shabbos, which is very important. So if we're talking about adding a dimension of simcha, and I've suggested in the past that it isn't just that, you know, this kind of exerus a kasuv based on the medrash that Shabbos is ponim chadashos bo'o lekan. You know, and there's the Shami Yaseira, and there's all these other things, you know, they're the Panim Chadashos. I don't think that's what we mean. I think what we also mean that, it's a new experience, I think it's even more than that, as I said before, the role of Shabbos is such, and the role of Shabbos in everybody's life is such, that when, you know, people get married, you know, it's not just the first opportunity for the wife to make cholent, but it's, or maybe the husband helps with the cholent, whatever happens there. You know, but it's the experience of the first Shabbos together, right? And that's a chalos in their relationship. Just as, you know, the chuppah is, and then moving Shivas Me'amishta is, and Shloshim Yom is, and Yud Beis Chodesh is. So the first Shabbos is like a new experience, something they experience together. They've till now experienced Shabbos as individuals, and now they experience Shabbos as Mesameach Hasan Imakal. Right. Not since the time of Du Partzufin, you know, has this been, you know, has this happened. So I think that's part of the idea. I'm not sure that that's what Tosfos has in mind, but I think that, you know, maybe that's another way to understand Medrash. And we'll get to some implications of that as well. Either way, the fact that you could say either Panim Chadashos or Mizmar Shir Liyom HaShabbos, you know, is obviously inconsistent with trying to validate or justify Amiras Bracha Levatala, or you're making a bracha for, you're not making the bracha for the Neshama Yisera, or for Mizmar Shir Liyom HaShabbos, right? But whether you explain it my way or in a more prosaic way, either way, the idea of an added dimension within Shivas Me'amishta, there's something different about this day in Shivas Me'amishta which justifies the Sheva Brachos, is very understandable with the requirement of Misha Marba Simcha Mishil. Unless you want to say that there are two dinim, right? But even then, that would be very hard to say, you know, given the Shabbos extension. Now, you could have said that according to Tosfos, you need Panim Chadashos, but it also should be of a certain quality. Misha Marbim Simcha Bishvilo. You need the Panim Chadashos for the Amiras HaBracha. You need the Misha Marbim Simcha Bishvilo for the Simcha. And you need both of those things. But, you know, since there seems to be a seamless transition in Tosfos, namely, it seems to be also connected with the application of Shabbos, where you can substitute for the Simcha, but you can't really substitute for the Amiras HaBracha, it would seem that that is Tosas's Shita. What's fascinating is it Mi Shemarba Bishvilo Simcha? I'm sorry, Simcha? Or is it Mi Shemarbin Bishvilo Tzu'uda? Ah. Rabbi? Is it? Who says that? Yeah, they talk about that, and in the Shita B'Kubetzis, when they quote the Balei Tosas, they change the girsa from some of them did at least, from Simcha to Suda. We'll see in a moment, is that because the Suda plays an important role, either per se or Simcha, or is this just a shir in the Gavra? Instead of saying, oh, you know, whenever he comes, the lights look brighter, you know, and the children, stop crying and start laughing, and people start saying Shechayanu and Hatova Meitiv together, he's here. So in some cases, it expresses itself in culinary fashion. He's here, we bake a cake. He's here, we bring out the barbecue. Etc. Misha Marbim Suda Bishvilo, as opposed to Misha Marbim Simcha Bishvilo, is the same thing, and it's interchangeable. It's a shiur in the echus of the Gavra. Or no, this is an important change, and it highlights the fact that the Suda, and therefore the quality of the Suda, is part of the story in Sheva Brachos as well. If you need a Suda, and then of course it might affect where the Panim Chadashos, when they need to get there. Again, what previous involvement they had, etc. Okay, so we'll get back to that in just a minute, but that's something you should be aware of. The Meir Alatar says, again, in the other direction, starting to get to some of those shitos, you don't need a Gavra Chadash. Anybody have language of the Meiri open? You need a man of stature. Again, the Pashtus and Tosis is that you need Panim Chadashos, literally, right? Plus, Misha Marbin Bishvilo Simcha, unless Shabbos, which says both. The Chiddush in the Meiri is that Panim Chadashos doesn't have to be somebody, who wasn't there previously at all. He could have been there all along. But if he's an Adam Chashuv, right, Shemarbin Bishvilo Simcha, right, then he always triggered. That, of course, would be a more direct proof for this idea. Anybody have the language of the Meiri? Yeah, Robbie? Or Isaac? Go ahead. You have it?
Sorry,
this is the right line. Yeah. Now, the Agos Mamunios, I'm sorry? The Rif. How? Yeah, but does that mean that it's not Kadashos? What I'm adding in the Meiri is, Meiri says he doesn't need to be Chadashos. And of course, that's the Pshat in Chachmei Narba, meaning Balei Tosas already say that it's Misha Marbim Simcha Bishvilo. So, okay, fine. You could say, you're saying, maybe not Marbim Simcha, but he's Chashuv. Could be. But what I'm, that might be an added point. But the bigger point that I'm trying to make is that maybe he's been there all week. It doesn't matter. He's the important thing is that he's an Adam Chashuv. Now the Chachmei Narbona in the Hagos Mamunios, right, say something similar, but for them it's Dafka, not just Adam Chashuv, who happened to be at the wedding, but Dafka the people, right, who made the wedding, meaning whose presence was particularly, crucial. Right, to giving the wedding its special flavor and character. Who has language of Isaac? You have it? Anybody have language open? Go ahead, Ellie. Yeah, so I think that there could be two pshatim in Chachmei Narbona. One is, again, this is a shiur in Simcha and Chashivos vis-a-vis, the wedding. Ironically, the other possibility is it might. What's that?
They say that's a shiur that the Tosfos.
One more time.
If it's about Simcha, it would be consistent with Tosfos, meaning they quoted from Tosfos.
Oh, okay. Who quotes it from Tosfos?
The Gosmanos. I can last one from Tosfos.
I mean, Tosfos quoting the Chachmei Rabbona.
What?
I mean, the... But they're quoting the Chachmei Rabbona.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. The other possibility is that Dafka, you want the people at the wedding because you're reenacting. Again, you know, usually we think the reenacting is for someone else. But it could also be that, it's a video. So when you take a video... Right, the people don't change each time. I have this like fantasy that, you know, things can change, you know, especially the bad things, you know. So every time you see something, you say, oh, this time it'll be different. But that's just, you know, a lack of living in the real world. But in the real world, like if you take, if you really videotape something, or they don't videotape anymore, right? Video digitize. So it, you know, presumably it shouldn't be able to change, right? So what the Chachmei Rabbona may also be saying is that you've captured this Kodak moment, forever, and the people have to be... He doesn't say that people have to be wearing the same clothes. Okay. That would be something, right? But it's an interesting, you know, in terms of language, one more time just to read it, he says that they shouldn't leave, right?
Yeah,
like, that's a little strange. So again, you could say, well, you need the package, you know. It's not just enough to have one, you know, who's mar b'simcha b'shvilo, or even some, you know, you have to have all of them. That's part of the simcha, meaning we're still, you know, celebrating in the same intense fashion. You know, we haven't lost a single, you know, participant whose presence, you know, enhanced. Like, don't they always write on the bottom of the thank you cards, your presence enhances our simcha, or something like that? So this, the Chachmei Rabbona were very machmir on that idea.
Right.
Or it's the vigidization of the process. Yeah.
Are you talking about non-pashut, or are you talking about someone that doesn't usually eat with them? So it's demonstrating that this is a suda b'chasuna.
Maybe. I mean, it's not his chashivas per se. It's the but he. Read the language again. Oh, nice. I mean, it isn't chashiva, it isn't his personal stature per se. It's, again, his association with... he's not like regular at your table, so... Again, I think the effect is the same, right? But it's not about his personal stature, you're saying. It's about his being an infrequent, and therefore a guest who's associated with the chuppah, specifically. There are some other Rishonim who say something very similar but do mention Chashivas. I'd have to find exactly who that is, but that's a good point. Okay. Good. Good. What about Isha? Right? Can an Isha, even an Isha Chashuva, can she be Panim Chadashas? Yeah, Shmuel? Yeah. So the Ritva speaks about this and says absolutely not. It has to be Roy Leminyan, and that would seem to link the whole issue of Panim Chadashos more with the Bracha and the Amiras HaBracha. Right? Again, you might have said that being Roy for a Minyan, you know, is not Koveya regarding Bracha Levatala but since that's basically this highlights two points. One is that the role of the minyan here, right, is more kind of a davar shebikdusha or a representation of the tzibur, right, which as opposed to simply barov amhadras melech or lav orach ara, right, issues that we discussed, Not only because women obviously aren't counted, which we already discussed, but because Roy Laminyan is even an eco for Panim Kadoshos and Mevarchim Ba'ada. Yeah.
Is it a problem that he quotes this, as he says, Tosfos says this? Maybe it's a different Tosfos. We quoted Tosfos before as saying that Shabbos works Panim Kadoshos, which linked up with saying that
I'm just saying the Ritva is quoting a whole bunch of things. I think it's hard to pin down, you know, all the things that he's saying in a very consistent fashion. I do agree that they don't work so well, some of them together. But he is quoting. Sometimes he's quoting Chachmei Rabbani Tzarfat. Sometimes he's quoting Bali. You know, he seems to be quoting different people. But the Shita per se that Nashim are excluded because they're not Ruya Laminyan. I'm just pointing out A is Bechudash. The fact that they're not Ruya Laminyan, you know, is one thing. Even that one might have disputed, meaning not that they're not like this clear. That women are not Ruya Laminyan, you know, is very clear. That they're not included in the, you know, in the ten that would be required, you know, for Birchas Chasanim. Is very, very likely, but it's not it would have been impossible otherwise if we took the view of Orach Ara, as we discussed, or Rehoboam Hadras Melach. I mentioned at the time, right? You know, we were talking about Kiddush Hashem doesn't require 10 men, you know, Befar Hesia, and you know, Kriyas HaMegillah, there's a debate. So, but all right, that's what I'm saying is, even if you were to grant that point, which is the normative view, the idea that that should be Ma'akev serving as a Panim Chadashos when there are 10 men is a different matter entirely. And it highlights both of these things in an important way. I think the Piskei Tshuva quotes some of the Achronim who disagree with the Ritva. Again, not about 10, but about the possibility of the woman serving as Panim Chadashos. Right? And we already discussed, you know, the Rambam's formulation about Avadim and Ketanim, and his different formulation in Perek Beis Hilchos Brachos, and in Perek Yud Hilchos Ishus, etc. But the Piskei Tshuva is mistapek about this issue that the Ritva is so strong about. Okay, what about Shabbos and Yom Tov? So as we mentioned, Tosek Suvis equates Panim Chadashos Mamish plus Odim Shemar Ben Bishvilo Simcha with Shabbos, which implies that everything is a din in Simcha in that dimension, and then I was also trying to add an explanation of what that might be all about. What about Yom Tov? So the evidence on Yom Tov is less. Many of the Rishonim say Hu Adin Yom Tov. I think it could be number one, Bizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos Panim Chadashos Bo Lekan, you know, technically whatever that means might be limited to Yom Tov. In terms of the way that I was suggesting to explain it, or to explain something parallel, if not it, namely, this idea of, you know, the first Shabbos experience together, I think it's an open question. I mean, obviously, Yomim Tovim, Mikroi Kodesh, also represent an important dimension in married life. Ad kedei kach, that where we see it in the opposite direction, perhaps, as we know, is an Avelus. Right, meaning the idea that a person l'chatchila should not be remarrying until after, you know, Gimel Regalim, and you know, we explained that that's a machlokas Rishonim. How to explain that halacha, you know, is that you know, just a din in, you know, the nostalgia, and therefore the inability, you know, to it's not a good footing, you know, for a new marriage. You know, you know, if there are still very intense, I wouldn't say memories. The memories remain, but you know, if you jump the gun and you're too premature, too abrupt in letting the Avelus run its course, right? So it's not a healthy psychological environment, right, to foster a new and challenging relationship. So that the din is a din, you know. Very much a pragmatic din and a din in the second marriage, but there are other Rishonim, as we know, who think that it's a din in the first marriage, and kavod ishto harishona. And again, one can say that in psychological terms, but certainly it also highlights that shared yomim tovim is marital you know, kind of an experience. But certainly one can be mechalik between Shabbos and Yom Tov, both because of the limud of Mizmar Shir L'Yom HaShabbos and the role that Shabbos plays more generally, as we know. Shabbos is also the ben zug, you know, of Klal Yisrael. I don't want to get too drushy here, but to the extent that that is part of the theme of the Sheva Brachos, which point to some of the Rishonim, Abudram and, you know, Ribra Yakar and others, is part of the theme of the Sheva Brachos itself, and again part of the Tzibur idea. So is it possible, we know that Kedushas Yom Tov and Kedushas Shabbos are overlapping, both in the Mikra Kodesh. I don't know why that keeps doing that. I don't even know what it means. I don't know. The we know that they're overlapping a lot, and you know, Shabbos Ikri Moed and Moed Ikri Shabbos, and the overlap which we discussed so much last year of Kedushas Shabbos and Kedushas Yom Tov. But we also know that they're very different, and they're intended to be, you know, very different. And the question is whether or not the Panim Chadoshos status of Shabbos, you know, is something which likely, again, most Rishonim and Poskim assume that Yom Tov and Shabbos are equal in this respect. But I think that a strong case could be made that Shabbos Lechud and Yom Tov Lechud, and that this is really a special din in Shabbos. It's part of, even if, you know, very, very simply, the fact that every week, you know, includes a Shabbos, which means that structurally there has to be a Shabbos Sheva Brachos as opposed to coincidentally, and that, you know, the units of life are the units of Shabbos and everything revolves around the Shabbos, that's part of, you know, life Yom Yom, may be established that this is a special din in Shabbos and not in Yom Tov. Of course, if it is a din in Yom Tov, then the next question is, what about Yom Tov Sheni? And if it's a din in Shabbos, the question is whether it also extends to Sudash Shlishit, which we sometimes call Shalosh Shudas or Shudas. But yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say that the Miri's fits very well with the same for Shabbos. He never says that it's part of the Shua, that Shabbos is part of Kadosh, as opposed to the Medrash of the source. And Rupa says that you can't extend this to Yom Tov.
Cannot.
Yeah,
correct. Amiri says that day.
He says it's Kiyoma Chuppah. That's what he calls Shabbos. Not that it's Barbara Bishula and therefore it's like new people coming. It's the Yom Chuppah again.
Yeah, and again, I would explain that in the way that I'm explaining it, kind of. Right. There's when you get married, so you already know that, you know, you're getting married on Chol, but this marriage is going to, you know, it's going to be a Shabbos marriage too, in a way, and it's also Kiyoma Chuppah. So I think it's a very intriguing idea, but I like the diuk and the language. Very good. Okay, so with regard to, let me say something very quickly about Sudash Shlishit, of course, is an interesting issue. In general, what is its status? You know, we know in terms of pas and, you know, the ability to be more flexible about it, like, you know, Erev Pesach Shekol Yos B'Shabbos, or like this year, right? But we had, you know, clash between, you know, Yom Tov and Erev Shabbos. You know, the ability to substitute the, you know, the Zohar's Divrei Torah. You know, we know in general that Sudash Shlishit has a different status. It's interesting that Bach has the comment where he says, Bizmanenu, Sudash Shlishit is like, took off, you know. So, Ein Lecha, like, Panim Chadashos, Gedolim Bitzu. And the Aruch HaShulchan has a whole discussion about this as well, where he's mitlabet a little bit about all of this. Obviously, if we're talking about Shabbos as a yom, Panim Chadashos Ba'al Ba'al Lekan, you know, then it really shouldn't matter, and it shouldn't depend on the status of the Suda. If we're talking about Suda Shabbos per se, still Suda Simcha and so on, again, the HaShulchan and the Bach speak about, oh, well, you know, the generally, sometimes even more Divrei Torah at the Sudash Shlishit than, you know, at the other Sudot. So it's an interesting question. To what extent is the way that people observe it, which would be, a dimension of Simcha, but Simcha Sagavra element, Koveya, or the objective, really, status of the Suda itself, in which it's, again, kind of the din of Chefta Shel Simcha, and that shouldn't change just because people relate to it differently, you know, over time. Yom Tov Sheni, of course, is really, really interesting, and it parallels a little bit our discussion of Chasen Avel. Right? In the context of Chasen Avel, we talked about the status of Yom Tov Sheni, Shel, and Golios, in Avelos in general, and why it is that we count the beginning of the Minyan Shiva on Yom Tov Sheni, Shel, Golios, and so on. So there were different formulations, even in this sugya, and of course it's the bigger topic is in Beitza and a little bit in Moed Katan. What is the on a Drabanan level, what is the status of Yom Tov Sheni as a Yom? Is it really a Yom, or is it just a collection of Nihugim? Part of the issue of Mevorchen al Minag, frankly, and part of the issue a little bit of Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz and what you're supposed to be doing, when there's a discrepancy, Chumras Samakum Shiyata Misham. Is there a Chalos Yom, Yom Tov Sheni, or is it just a collection of individual actions? Moreover, on a Simcha level, do you have Chetzah Shel Simchas Yom Tov? Is that part of the Minhag or Takana? Right, we had some formulations, and of course it's Drabanan at most, but beyond the fact that it's Drabanan, what is the Drabanan? Is it Nihugim, or is it Chalos Kedusha Drabanan as a Yom? And is it also expressed really in Simcha, and then in Simchas Hayom? So partly, that was part of the Chasen Avel Rishonim discussion about why it is that, it seems like Simchas Yemei Mishta is more effective than Yom Tov Sheni, Shel Golios, right? And there were different answers, mina katzeh la katzeh, as to why that should be true. Some more technical and some... So when we also encounter the question whether Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios, assuming Yom Tov, yes, what about Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios here, that becomes interesting. Another question about Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios would be in terms of the Panim Chadashah's question itself. Now, yesterday was Yom Tov, and now it's Yom Tov Sheni. So is that really Panim Chadashah's? That's an interesting question. That, of course, goes to the issue to what extent Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios is seen as a second day, or as, the second possibility of being the real day. And Reb Chaim's famous Ha'ara in the Chibur, that maybe it depends on your perspective, it's whether you're looking, backwards or forwards. Again, Reb Chaim doesn't exactly say it this way. This is my pithy, kind of rendition of it. But, that's kind of what he's discussing. In other words, instead of just saying, there's a question whether Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios is 2 days, 1 day, do the days recognize each other or not? Maybe there's a difference from the perspective of the first day going forward and the perspective of the last day looking backwards. So in terms of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios serving as Panim Chadashos itself, in addition to the question of Kedushas Hayom and how much Simcha and how much of a Chalos Hayom, etc., there's also the question of the relationship between Yom Tov Sheni and Yom Tov. There's also a question about the status of Purim. Again, we had that this year in our family wedding a little bit. The Knesset HaGdola, quoted by the Be'er Heitev, is mistapek whether or not Purim is going to be Panim Chadashos. So again, this relates to some of the things that we talked about. We were talking about Simcha B'mono. So I raised the question in light of the Yom Shel Shlomo. We know that Yom Tov isn't, and there's some question about Siyumim. What about Purim? Simcha U'mishta. And there were a number of suggestions I was trying to make. Is there Dafka Simcha U'mishta, no, only Mishta? I'm sorry, Dafka Simcha U'mishta, but not Mishta, but Simcha? Does it depend on the fact that it's qualitatively a very different Simcha than that of Shabbos? Again, Tamar quoted the Rishalmi. There are some of the issues that we raised regarding Shasimcha B'mono and whether or not Purim qualifies for Shasimcha B'mono, a question which I was raising, but suggesting various things about. Maybe it's just because it's not an individual expression, but one of all of Klal Yisrael. Maybe that's a pshat in Yom Tov too. The various suggestions that we made at the time, some of them are relevant to this question too, whether Purim will qualify as Kedushas Hayom. As Panim Chadashos. And again, there's no Chalos Kedushas Hayom, for sure. It's a Yom, but there's no Kedushas Hayom. The Simcha is of a different type. maybe better, maybe worse, just probably different. Sason, I say Mishta v'Simcha rather than Simcha Mishta. And there are other discrepancies or distinctions as well. Okay. Again, the Shulchan Giborim, I should mention, is not Mechala. He thinks even Yontif Sheni Shogalion supplies, but he says that Suda Shlishis does not. And as I mentioned, the Bach thinks that Bizmanenu, there's nothing better than Shal Shivas. And the Aruch HaShulchan and others debate on this point. It's either Machlokas, how you understand Suda Shlishit and Yontif Sheni and so on, or on the threshold of Panim Chadashos, or both. Yeah.
I just think it's worth getting on the record that there's also the sheet that I'm thinking is from the event set that there's nothing special about Shabbos and Yom
Kippur. Yeah, we're going to get that in one more second. Correct. So let's discuss that. Whose sheet is that, by the way? Yeah, but it's the Ramban, right? So all this so far has been according within the worldview of the Baalei Tosfos, right, who think that, we're discussing which days, which meals, right, etc. But that days, certain types of days can substitute. And obviously, if days can substitute, we're not talking about, a bracha levatala or being motzi or reenacting. We're not talking about any of that stuff. We're talking about dimensions. There are some different ways to explain it and good reasons to argue about it, but dimensions of simcha or new aspects, predictable, anticipatable, or surprising of the experience of chasan and kav. But of course, if you take the view that, it's bracha ba'ad, etc., so you're not going to believe this at all. So the first thing to note is that the Rambam, of course, when he mentions Panim Chadashos, but we know the Rambam has a very limited view of the role of Panim Chadashos, and we know what that view is. So it's not surprising to us that the Rambam never mentions Panim Chadashos in terms of Shabbos or Yom Tov, etc., right? But what is a little more intriguing is the Ramban. Right? The Ramban basically says that there's no such din. Aye, but he doesn't want to, reject the Makoros that say it. So what does he suggest, Josh?
He says on those days you're guaranteed that someone else is going
to
show up.
Exactly. You always have guests. Somebody's going to come to a Shabbos meal. That could be overly optimistic, but it's an interesting assumption, right? But basically the Ramban is contorting a little bit because he just doesn't think it makes any sense to say that intrinsically a Yom Kodesh is Panim Chadashos. Now, is that because it's Bracha Ba'adam or reenactment or one of these other issues? Or is it because even on the dimension of Simcha, the Simcha here is about not added convergences or first experiences and so on. It's really a people generated Simcha or dimension of Simcha. And therefore, you need real live people. The abstract, Panim Chadashos of Shabbos just isn't relevant here. We're not denying that there's no Panim. There is Panim Chadashos to Shabbos, but it's not going to fill the requirements of Panim Chadashos for Shabbat Brachos. And therefore, the idea is more that you're likely to always have a Panim Chadashos on Shabbos than that Shabbos is Panim Chadashos. Correct. Okay. Now let's discuss for a moment, there's much more on these things, but let's discuss another issue, and that is the question of participation. So Shita Gebetzis, when he quotes Rashi, thinks that Rashi disagrees with Tosas about the requirement of Adam Shamar bin Bishvilo Simcha. Also thinks, for the same reason, that Mi Shaba Achar HaSe'uda would qualify for Panim Chadashos. And that the Baalei Tosfos hold that Be'inan Mi Shamar bin Bishvilo Se'uda, by the way, that's where he has the gear, so this is on what? Page, I don't remember if I didn't write the page number, whatever it is, where that Shita Gebetzis quotes, it's Mi Shamar bin Bishvilo Se'uda, not Simcha. But he assumes that it also isn't just a Shir on the Gavra, right? But that, or even in the Se'uda, which then triggers in the presence of a Gavra Chadash, but it also means that the Gavra has to participate in the Suda itself. Oh. If it was into the Gavra, that wouldn't be a requirement. So one of the interesting issues to wonder about, and this is hard to pin down, because we have evidence in one and we have evidence in the other, but we don't necessarily have evidence on both from the same people is what is the relationship between present participation categories or criteria and previous participation criteria. In other words, let's say somebody previously was at the Suda, but he wasn't at the Brachos. Or he was at the Brachos and not the Suda. Right? And now presently he's at one or the other, right? Or at the other and not the first one. It makes sense to think, but it's certainly not mukhrach, that there should be consistency. In other words, is the participation which disqualifies for Panim Chadashos and which qualifies for Panim Chadashos more about the Suda or more about the Bracha? Now, you certainly could be Michalik in either direction. Right? You might say either. You might require both. You might require one or the other. And you might also say that one is Koveya, with regard to disqualification as a previous Panim Chadashos, and the other is a requirement as far as present Panim Chadashos. Okay, I don't want to go through all the permutations, but you understand what I just said. Okay. Having said all of that, the question is, what is this all about? So as a dimension of Simcha, you could say almost anything you want. In other words, but as a dimension of Bracha, seemingly, at least also the Bracha should be Koveya. Right? In both directions. In other words, somebody who heard the Bracha already, or somebody now who's going to serve as a Panim Chadashos, right? If he left before the Brachos but was there for the Seuda, if we're making it Ba'ado, right, that should be what's Koveya. If it's a question of Simcha Yisera, you might say, this whole Simcha has just been so festive. It's lo gara, let's say that way, than the Panim Chadashos of the Yom, right, who is at one Suda and, doesn't need to come back for the others, but, has just, enhanced the whole day's Simcha. We're still like in the luster, the afterglow of his earlier presence of the day, right? So if a guy's, at the Suda, I'm not saying you can't be Michalik. You might, he has to be, there for the indispensable parts or when he's there, and then his afterglow works for the rest of the day. I'm not saying you can't be Michalik. What I am saying is that just like, you might have, you have shitas that say the Panim Chadashos is about the luster and the afterglow of the day, even if he's a far gone, so too you might say that the afterglow and the luster, if that's what's required for Amiras HaBracha, in theory might apply even for someone who was only there, or he came and he said his Dvar Torah, right? If it was good, then the afterglow can be enough. Okay, so this is a very halacha lemaisa, obviously, issues. When you have panim chadashos, do they have to be at the meal? Do they have to wash? Do they have to be part of the benching? We'll get to that in a second as well, right? Do they have to stick around for the bracha? We usually assume they have to stick around for the bracha, but let's say they didn't wash, or they just came in later. Do they count? Another question is, can they say the bracha? Okay. So we're not going to go through all this now. There are different views. Some of it is very amorphous. In the Rishonim, there's not so much about this, but there's very little about it, I should say. Presence in the Suda or the Brachos, or both, or one, and in either direction. Okay. The Ritva does seem to emphasize what? What does the Ritva emphasize? I'm sorry it's so late, and I just want to finish up on the Padashas. We'll start tomorrow with the survey of the Gemara and other things. Tomorrow we're going to do Shavi Nafsha. Okay. What does Ritva say? David? Josh?
In terms of what?
Participation. Bracha, Suda. Avram? The Bracha. But he says it in the previous participation, right? You have line? Go ahead. Yeah, let's say he was there for the Suda, but then he had to run out, and he wasn't there for the Bracha. We can use him for Panim Chadashos. That's the Ritva's position. Again, That might still be a shir and simcha and so on and so forth, but it works a lot better, standalone at least, as a requirement, as a koveya, if we're talking about hearing the bracha, justifying the bracha. Okay. It also seems that according to the Ritva, even if he was there, does he quote another shita or not? Or is that a different, am I mixing up? I think there's another shita that he quotes, Bein b'bracha, bein b'suda, right? Or is that the Rabbeinu Yonah, maybe? Am I there? No? Okay, I'll try to find that. Anyways, finally, what is the relationship between the suda and Birchas Hamazon as well, and this question? We do make Sheva Brachos a different sudos, as we know. But the question is that just a framework of Simcha? Or is it a din in Suda and or Birchas Hamazon? So in Masachat Sofrim, right, they tell this story. Shua, what's the story in the Masachat Sofrim? Yeah, they met the people on the street, right? And they broke out into Sheva Brachos. Sounds very exciting, actually. But there was no food, right? No Birchas Hamazon at all. So in the Masechet Sofrim version of it, basically we understand that, you know, normally you don't have enough of a framework to justify Sheva Brachos. You need, you know, same reason you might, I mean, Makom HaChuppah. So you need a Suda, you need the framework. Lots of times you need the framework of a Suda to accomplish certain things. But not Suda per se, and it's not Birchas Hamazon per se. Right? It substitutes for other things, and maybe it's compensatable if you're on Shabbos or Yom Tov, you're leaving Shul, you're pumped with the Chasan and Kala, you know, and that's the response that it kind of triggers, then that would be fine as well. The Ritva, on the other hand, when he talks about the second, seems to reject the second Sofrim and requires Suda, but as a Shiur in Simcha. You might have said, and especially in light of the Ramach and his comment in the Rambam in Perek Beis Hilchos Brachos, that maybe it's not just a Shiur in Simcha, but it really is a din in the Suda and the Birchas Hamazon. And maybe that's really the pshat, according to the Rambam, as well. One of the problems that the Ramban has with Masechet Sofrim, which he quotes, is where's the Birchas Hamazon? Part of the question whether or not there's a problem of mitzvahs chavilos between the kos of Birchas Hamazon and the kos of the Sheva Brachos may also be connected to this issue. I already mentioned that the Sefer HaManig thinks that Shasimcha B'mono is mitzaref, you know, Birchas Hamazon and Sheva Brachos to justify or to neutralize the problem of Ein Osim Mitzvos Chavilos. But that aside, right, the more we think that the Sheva Brachos during the week, right, are about Birchas Hamazon and or the Suda per se, right, the easier it is to think that there's no din of mitzvahs chavilos. So what needs to be done here is something that I mentioned all the way back in the beginning of the year. In the beginning of the year we talked about the chavilos issue, Rebbeinu Tam, Rebbeinu Meshulam, the Meiri, all over the place, including Magen Avos, right, Rebbeinu Yerucham. We talked about the enots and mitzvahs chavilos of Kiddushin and Nisuin. Right, whether or not you make it al kos echad or not. We noted then that there are two issues. One is the issue of the relationship between kiddushin, the subject matters themselves, right, the topics, to what extent they are by nature one and integrated, or by nature dissonant and different, or maybe, you know, neither dissonant nor particularly, you know, integrated. That's one factor. Then, of course, the second factor is an objective, you know, enos and mitzvahs chavilos issue. What is the threshold required for, you know, being mishalev, integrating, as opposed to lanira kemasai, you know, each one having its own independent mechayev. The more you think that is anything you know, by nature requires its own independent focus unless it's integrated, or anything can be bundled unless it's dissonant, right? Where do you draw the line? In other words, in the dinim of Enos and Mitzvahs Chavios Chavios, which is a very fascinating issue and a very halachically and hashkafically significant issue too. You know, the question of whether inherently, again, we give everything its independent due, or, you know, we're always happy to bundle. You know, this is a question of Birchas Hanenin, you know, the idea of bundling and Bracha Chrona, and many issues. We even had it in an oblique way, right, in the Sheva Brachot said. We were talking about the Orchas Chaim's view that Asher Bara, you know, is a Sikum Bracha, right, even though you make the Brachos, you know, that precede it, certainly under the Chuppah, and even Panim Chadashos, right, independently. To what extent, you know, Baruch Hashem, Yom Yom, or you know, Kol Davar Mevarchin, you know, do we tend to bundle unless there's a problem, or, you know, we always demand, you know, independent attention unless there's some reason to integrate. So, what I'm saying is, if you could isolate, you know, the criteria of Enos and Mitzvahs Chavilos by comparing Kiddushin and Nisuin, and comparing the explanations for Yak Nahaz, and so on, and the contrast case, which of course is you know, benching and Kiddush, right, where we do say Mitzvahs Chavilos Chavilos, if you could figure out what the threshold are, what the thresholds are in Enos and Mitzvahs Chavilos Chavilos, then we might better be able to penetrate the application of the relationship between Birchas Hamazon and Sheva Brachos. And then we might find that Dafka, you need some sort of a unity, and you have it, right? Or in the other direction, that would be very intriguing, right? Or the other direction, let's say you don't need much of a unity, right, but you still don't have it. So these would be very important shitos, you know, to determine whether or not Sheva Brachos during the week of Shiva Svevishta are really dinim, and the Suda is just kind of a framework, of an objective framework of Simcha, which, you know, we are accustomed to, has stature in other halachic contexts, and therefore is appropriate, you know, here as well. But there's no special, you know, yichus to either Suda or Birchas Hamazon beyond that, and that's why Masechet Sofrim is kind of the dominant, you know, position, right? Even if we don't paskin or experience it much, or the opposite is true, that it really is a din, say Bisham Arbim Suda, and its previous or present participation in the Suda, right? And Shasimcha Bimono is a Birchas Chasanim. You know, the more you start saying, and the Rambam put it in Perek Beis, you know, and so on and so forth. When you start focusing on all of that, then that also may end up spilling over into how you look at Shasimcha, I'm sorry, into how you look at the role of Suda and Birchas Hamazon as being something which is more intrinsic, just like there's Sudas Shabbos and there's Sudas Yom Tov, and, you know, they are a chalos in the Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's why Ritzei and Yalav Yavo, you know, are ma'akev, because, you know, it's an indispensable haskara, and it's a chalos in the Suda, and therefore the chalos Birchas Hamazon has to reflect that. Right. So too, in the Yom Tov Di David Di Da of the Chasin and the Kala, the Seudos have a certain status, and the Birchas Hamazon has a certain status, and that would be expressed in some of these dinim. And of course, the more that is true, the less connected it is with the, you know, with the Sheva Brachos under the Chuppah, which is the case for the Rambam anyway, as we know, unless you say there are two dinim, like the Rambam did. Okay, so that's as far as Panim Chadashos. What we haven't done, there's more, you know, but these are some of the basic things. We still have to do Yehuda, but we're not going to do that till after Shavi Nafsha, because otherwise we won't get a fighting chance for Shavi Nafsha, which I want to give us. So we still have to do Minag Yehuda, and then we're going to do you know, some other fill-ins later. But for tomorrow, beginning tomorrow, the Shaklavatari of the Gemara and of Shavi Nafshe and the Mar Makomos that I gave you. Hopefully for Tuesday, and maybe we'll make a longer share Thursday, we'll at least get through the Yesodos of that, because that really brings us, you know, almost to Yud Aleph, in terms of things we've done in the year. Okay.